This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Boskin, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the the last day of summer. Next step, 2011. The summer is gone. Autumnal equinox tomorrow. This is a podcast about life and love, the autumnal equinox, and a lot more. So sit back and relax and enjoy the next few minutes that we're together. This is being brought to you by the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and of course by the good folks at epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an expanding universe. How appropriate. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Sure doesn't seem like an expanding universe today, huh? There is stuff coming down on us. I hear tomorrow there's supposed to be some space debris. Stuff we've left out there in space. It's supposed to come back down to Earth, crashing into our atmosphere, squiggling up our skies. Somewhere around Australia and even the east coast of the United States is in the target area. Please, please be careful. Take a look up, okay? Get your heads off of the ground and look up. Make sure you're not going to get hit by something that's coming from space. Yes, it is the autumnal equinox tomorrow. It's when everything gets equalized. If you happen to be living on the equator, then you've got an equal day of equal time of sun and nighttime tomorrow. And if, depending on where you are in relation to that equator, things are sort of normal. You can balance an egg here or there, but we're going to be balancing compass. How's that? On the autumnal equinox. Yeah, compass. We're getting so excited about that. That is coming out tomorrow. Linda Zadoyan, the host of that show. It is a new member of the Epostle family of broadcasts. That's coming out tomorrow. I got to read to you something that I've been looking at last couple days up on my in my office. I have this beautifully framed Declaration of Independence, and I happened to be reading it yesterday because it was the independence of Armenia. 20 years ago!
It was 20 years ago today!
20 years ago, Armenia became independent. And it was so beautiful. I never forget those days of communism. And in fact, I lived there in Armenia during those days of communism. And to say that you're Armenian and know that all of your destiny is in someone else's hand and in some kind of a vicious regime that is taking away the principles that are so dear to you, is taking away God from you. And then to see those shackles just open up and finding that freedom, it is very, I can't tell you, the last 20 years have been very challenging, very difficult for the people in Armenia. But as Armenians throughout the world, I know that I share the sentiment that so many people do. God bless Armenia, and whatever it may be, it's ours, and it's a small little piece of land, and you wish the best for it. But the Declaration of Independence I'm referring to comes to us from the United States, and I love it. It's on my wall, like I said, in my office, because I think it is really, really one sacred bit of writing. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political hands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's God entitle them a decent respect to the opinion of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Fancy words for like, get it out. Tell people what's going on. You don't belong in that situation. And then here it is. I love these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now think about that for a moment, okay? I mean, you know, when I said that these are really sacred words, I mean, it is so powerful. And interestingly enough, we celebrated the 20th anniversary of the nation of Armenia, the Republic of Armenia. And of course, they didn't have a declaration like this. It was almost like thrown into them. If you remember back when the collapse of the Soviet Union happened, it's like it or not, you're out, okay? There is no more Soviet Union, so you're out of it. So basically, there wasn't a rebellion to come out of the Soviet Union. But of course, the many years after that, and now 20 years later, people sometimes say, well, Armenia, it's got a lot of problems. Hey, hold on, folks, 20 years, it's not a lot of time. I mean, can you imagine what the United States was like in 1796? Yeah, 20 years after independence. Take a look. Take a look at your history books. I mean, it was difficult times, and it was difficult trying to put things in order. I mean, it's difficult today, some 200 plus years after independence. I mean, so what are you talking about 10, 20 years afterwards? But anyway, people are, of course, impatient, as I am. But I want to just draw your attention to these words that come from the Declaration of the Independence of the United States. Because as people, we have to always seek that which is free, that which is in harmony with God's work, with God's laws. And it's very, very difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult to find and justify what is God's law. I mean, who's to say that this is God's law, this is in sync with God's law, or this is against God's law? In fact, people have struggled with this. In fact, it is the basis for the arguments for the development of law and justice today in the free and civilized world. Just a couple days ago, I was reading, or rereading, I should say, the letter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. from Birmingham Jail. And if you've never read this piece, it is fantastic. It is filled with Christian responsibility, the message of Christ coming home and making that connection between your faith and means of living. But one point just really struck out at me, and I want to share this with you. One paragraph, excuse me. He writes like this. There comes a time when the cup of endurance runs over, and men are no longer willing to be plunged into the abyss of despair. Certainly, Dr. King is such a master of words and just orchestrating this beautiful feeling that you have inside of you that comes from these words. I mean, I'm in awe when I read this stuff. I hope, sirs, you can understand our legitimate and unavoidable impatience. So he's writing to other clergymen, and he's in jail. He's sitting in jail. He's being incarcerated for basically wanting freedom. And he's writing to other clergymen, hey, like, wake up. You guys are servants of Christ, and you're not out there fighting for justice. So he writes, you express a great deal of anxiety over our willingness to break laws. This is certainly a legitimate concern, since we so diligently urge people to obey the Supreme Court's decision of 1954, outlawing segregation in the public schools. At first glance, it may seem rather paradoxical for us consciously to break laws. One may well ask, how can you advocate breaking some laws and obeying others? The answer lies in the fact that there are two types of laws, just and unjust. I would be the first to advocate obeying just laws. One has not only a legal, but a moral responsibility to obey just laws. Conversely, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. I would agree with St. Augustine that an unjust law is no law at all. This is powerful stuff. I mean, last night, the state of Georgia, and subsequently as a part of this union, the United States, executed a man based on evidence that wasn't complete, wasn't conclusive. And so we, all of us living in the United States, shared in that execution. And you have to start wondering, at what point do you stand up? Now, are you with me right now? Hang on. This is going to get good. Okay, let me continue. Dr. King's words. Now, what is the difference between the two, between just and unjust laws? How does one determine whether a law is just or unjust? A just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or the law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law. To put it in terms that St. Thomas Aquinas says, an unjust law is a human law that is not rooted in eternal law or natural law. Any law that uplifts human personality is just. Any law that degrades human personality is unjust. And then he goes on to talk about the segregation that's taking place and his incarceration. Now, think about this for a moment. We talk about it. We have many examples. We see many times that justice is not served. Justice doesn't come out. But you know, when we talk about it here on The Next Step, I want to take it one step further. I want to take that next step and put it in terms that we could understand the church. And whether you're talking about an ancient church such as the Armenian church structure within Orthodoxy, whether you want to talk about Catholicism, you want to talk about any kind of institution for that matter, you've got to start understanding that when we talk about these things, it is going to be against the establishment. Why? Because the role of establishment is to maintain status quo. And if that status quo is out of sync, guess what? They are maintaining that out of sync, out of harmony with God's law relationship. Because that's the purpose of the institution. It is not to refine, it is not to destroy the status quo, but to maintain, and by maintaining, to preserve itself. A few months back in my blog, I want to share this with you because it talks about this independence. It says, it finally checked in my head last night why I'm on a different page. And when I say I, of course, I'm talking about all of us that are listening to The Next Step, that are part of this ministry. We're trying to take Armadoxy forward, okay? It finally clicked in my head last night why I'm on a different page when it comes to Armenian Church. My son Christopher was assigned to memorize a paragraph from the United States Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And I just read it a few minutes ago. It says, and now, listen to this. That's it. I hold these truths as self-evident. And so when such a holy government as that which runs the holy institution of the church becomes destructive of these ends, then it is the right to abolish and to institute a new order. Okay, you got me there? This is tough. I know. It's not an easy one to talk about. But we've been kicking this around. And the emails that I get, people have been asking me to talk about the institution. And you know why you want to talk about the institution. Because it isn't sync. It doesn't come in harmony. Did you catch last night's podcast? Well, last night we did the Bible study, Questions and Faith. What was the sense of that entire thing? If you didn't do it, if you didn't see it, please, please go on our website and check out last night. Now, what was that? The 21st, September 21st. Bible study, because it is so important. We answer the question, do you need to go to church to be a good Christian? And resoundingly, it's not a question of going to church to be a good Christian, but if you truly believe that Jesus Christ is at the center of that church, if you believe that Jesus Christ is being celebrated and he is in our midst, what can be more important on the outside? Think about it for a moment. What's more important than Christ in your midst? If we truly believe that this is the church of Jesus Christ, we believe that Jesus founded it. If you truly believe that 2,000 years ago, God was incarnate and he spoke the message of love, and that message of love was transferred through the church for the last 2,000 years, and you arrive at the Holy Divine Liturgy and participate in the body and blood, the sacred body and blood of Jesus Christ, and you believe that that is truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ, what could be more important outside? Your soccer game? Going to the mountains? Going to the beach? What is more important outside? Going to a drag race? Going to a ball game? Jesus Christ is in your midst. Now, listen to this. If you don't believe that, then it's like going to an opera. It's like going to a show. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. You applaud. You say, hey, that was good. Or you say, oh, this stinks. And you walk away. But let me tell you, it can't compete with the things that you like. Yeah, the ocean is beautiful. It is beautiful to go out there Sunday morning and enjoy those waves. It is beautiful to go up on a mountaintop and watch the sunrise on a Sunday morning. Yeah, if Jesus Christ isn't there, yeah, it's okay. If he's not in the church, yeah, who, you know, all of this is fine. Are you with me there? You understand what I'm trying to say? It's a question of us believing that church. That's why that mission, the entire mission of the church is important for us to be concrete on. It's not just some institution out there. It's not some usual institution. It's an institution that has Jesus Christ as its center. And so if you want the center of the church to be Jesus Christ, then nothing else is outside of it is more important. Because you want to go to the beach? I'll show you the creator of the beach. I'll show you the creator of those waves. I'll show you the creator of the mountains that put together those hills, that planted those beautiful trees, that allowed that sun to come and hit those landscapes, and so that you can be inspired. You want to go to the game? I'll show you the person who put together the game of life and make that life so beautiful that everyone can be a winner in that game. So there really isn't anything more important. Do you need to go to church to be a Christian? Only if you believe it. Only if you believe that Jesus Christ is in the midst. Now, we started off this discussion talking about the independence. Independence is a way of life. It's a way of living. And that independence is necessary for us to tap into, whether we live in a political situation or we live in the church. We live in the government run by the church. And at some point, you need to put your foot down. And so, I have to tell you, all these years I've been considering the church as a sacred institution that stood for the principles of life, liberty, truth, and the pursuit of happiness. That is unity with God. That's what I understand by those words, right? The principles of life, liberty, truth, pursuit of happiness. Isn't that unity with God? Isn't that the prescription of self-determination written for each of us? Well, it turns out that this is the definition that we've been given to you. This is the definition we've been talking about when we talk about armodoxy. And this is why it's so difficult. Because the rest of the church isn't on this page. Okay, they're still talking about self-preservation, maintaining status quo. In fact, I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, because the things that are coming out are really, really difficult to swallow. And that's why, of course, it is very difficult to be on the page that we're at. And I appreciate all of your comments. I appreciate your prayers. And I appreciate your support, because this is where we need to move. If you're committed, if you're definite about the church being the center at which God's presence gives you the energy and God is revealed, then you've got to buy into this, because there is no other way. You've got to believe that if Christ is at the center, there's nothing more important outside of it. And this gets us into trouble. It did 2,000 years ago. It still does. I have a song of the day for you. It's a very special song and one that you might enjoy if you happen to be Armenian. If not, please listen to the beautiful tones and the melodies. It means a lot to us. After 70 years of being under Soviet rule, Armenia declared its independence September 21st, 1991, and the Armenian flag stood there as a witness. Here is the national anthem of Armenia, Mer Hayrenik, sung and produced on this occasion of the 20th anniversary. I'm going to put a link on our show notes. Do check it out. It's a cute video. Hayrenik is the national anthem of the Armenian Republic. It is so beautiful, even more prettier to watch on the video. You got to see it. Just really some nice landscapes. And of course, these voices, some of which I recognize, some of which I don't. You got to do check it out. Doesn't matter, right? It's a beautiful song. And more important is what it symbolizes. Independence, a republic, a people that have been living and surviving. And today, authoring their destiny. And that's what it's all about. That's what we talk about here on The Next Step, and I'm glad you're joining us for today's podcast. We've got a great one coming up in the next few minutes. We're going to have Ani, of course, with her bubbles, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about this idea of independence. And by the way, Susie's pointing out that Hayastan, it ended on the word Hayastan. Okay, check it out. Hayastan, that word means Armenia. And now you've heard part of that word. You've heard it here and there. You've heard it in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, took many sten. Okay, that sten, that done, that is done, actually, in Armenian word. It means it's the possessive of home, house, dun, dun. Duni becomes dan, in other words, belonging to that house. So, Hayastan, the house of the Armenians, of the Hays. Okay? That's how easy it is. Hayastan. Pakistan, I guess, the house of the Pakis. I'm not sure what the Pakis would... Anyway, you get the idea, okay? You get the idea. So it is an Armenian word, and you've heard it all over. Many countries are named after this, and the Armenian country, for the Armenian people, it is referred to as Hayastan, the land or the home of the Armenians. Yeah, nice one. Thank you. Yes, Susie's reminded me that we have left off that learn an Armenian word a day, you know. I know. There's so many things. What do you want me to do? We're going in so many directions. I want to tell you about some of those directions, in fact, right now, because as we're talking about the independence, you know, it's so important that we talk about what we're doing as a church. And it's not always, you know, I get so aggravated when I see people pointing out the problems without pointing out solutions, because we've all done that. And I'm guilty of it. I know you are. Everyone is guilty of pointing out difficulties, pointing out the flaws. But the true way of pointing out a flaw is to answer it, at least, to at least bring about a solution. I mean, how many times have you heard this whole argument about, like, the language issue in the Armenian church or youth in the church? Forget about Armenian church. Yes, Armenian church is important to me, but so many of you are listening, coming from different walks of life, different places, and you know, the youth. And it's interesting because one of the Catholicoses of the Armenian church, Autumn of the Great House of Cilicia, that's just the one in Beirut, Lebanon, he is going to be coming to the United States in October. And I just was looking through the itinerary that they have planned for him. And here and there, he's going to be talking about the youth and the Armenian church. Youth. Hey, come on. I mean, like, isn't this kind of like a beating a dead horse? I mean, you want youth, you got to be talking languages. Hey, did you see all the changes they made on Facebook today? When is the church talking about Facebook? Hey, except for Apostle, I don't really see much activity going on in the world that is reflected on Facebook. Yeah, sure, here and there, you've got some churches that are popping up and everything. But are we using it effectively as a means of communication to get the word out about what I was talking about a minute ago, about showing that Christ is in the center? Or are we just saying it's a cutesy thing? This is like the whole issue about women in the church. Oh, we love that one, don't we? That's another good one, you know. It's one of those standby issues, you know. We want to pick on the church. How about women? Where are the women in the church? Okay, we know it. There's a problem there. What is the solution? We know that there's a problem with youth. What is the solution? Are you finding means? Well, one of the ways is open the door for women. Okay, give an opportunity. Women, take that opportunity. Yes, it's a two-way door. Someone will open that door. And once it's open, you got to put your foot in. You got to say, okay, I'm taking that opportunity. I'm gonna take advantage of that opportunity. I think I shared this with you back in 1984. I was teaching a retreat. It was an ACYO retreat. Never forget it. We're talking about women in the church. And one of the young ladies at that retreat, she was 18 years old. She said that if I learned the parts of the deacon, would you allow an ordination? I said, it's not up to me. It's up to the ordaining bishop. But hey, listen, I'll open the door. And what was remarkable about it is that there was a group of many young ladies, but only one entered that door. Her name was Seta Simonian at the time. 1984, she became the first ordained acolyte in the United States of America. She was ordained by Archbishop Vacehov Sepian. There you have it. One of the senior archbishops of the Armenian Apostolic Orthodox Church ordaining a young woman into the acolyte. And she subsequently served at the altar, read the gospel. She celebrated with the priest and the other deacons. And in fact, if you go to our YouTube site, I know there's a small clip of it somewhere. Because, of course, this was pre-video cams. Not everybody had all these little video cameras on their phones. So we have preserved a little bit of video. And anyway, this became the first. Now, what's interesting is a door was opened. How many people do you think walked in through that door? How many people do you think accepted the challenge? Till today, no. None. Zero. Yes, there have been ordinations of young girls as acolytes, but isn't it a more of a cutesy kind of thing? You know, they come and they put the veil on and the bishop says, okay, you are now an acolyte. They hold candles. But once they are of age, they are basically asked to leave, you know? I mean, you can't have a young girl, a maturing girl up at the altar, can you? Oh, heaven forbid that a young girl should proclaim the importance of Christ in our midst. And who was the first apostle? Who was the first one? What was her name? Mary Magdalene, who came to the tomb and accepted the first gospel message that Christ has resurrected. Now, what was she? She was a woman. Oh, man. Do we have some problems here? Yes. Well, in the course of human events, when you see that there are problems in there, isn't it up to you to say that, okay, we're going to make the change? Okay, it's okay to identify the problem, but the second issue has to be, what is the solution? I mean, I go through this all the time. I sit through meetings with priests. Get up, well, you know, we need to change the language of the service because people can't understand the language of the service. Oh, come on. Since when? My wife has been, for the last couple weeks, Yeretskin has been involved in giving readings out to the young kids at church. So this is in lieu of a small Sunday school program that we're doing in Glendale. And she's got these young kids who are reading the gospel message or the scriptural message, more specifically, before I give the sermon. And last week, one young girl wanted to read it in Armenian, and she did, in regular Armenian, not like in the colloquial, in today's Armenian, not classical. And she read it beautifully, oh, beautifully, and she got an applause too. Later on, Yeretskin asked her, she said, what, did you understand that? No. Okay, so basically the language is something that we can spit out like a parrot does. But when it comes to understanding, what are we understanding? Can you understand the words of St. Paul? Can you understand the words that he throws out at you when you're reading? Even in English. This I say therefore and testify to the Lord, that ye walk not as other Gentiles do in the vanity of their mind. That's St. Paul, by the way. King James. Did you understand that? The vanity of their minds. That ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles do. Holy moly. So it's not enough about changing language. It's about understanding. And this is, we get back to what I was talking about before. If you believe that the centrality of the church is based on Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ is there, listen to this. Are you ready for this? It doesn't matter what language you speak in. It doesn't matter if you're talking in ancient Armenian. It doesn't matter if you're talking in English. Because for that 1 hour that you are in the presence of God, all of it vanishes. And you start speaking the language that God is speaking. Which is the language of love. And that's what it's about. That's what we are all about. When we talk about apostle over here, and this is why it's so important that if you believe in it, it's not enough to identify it, but to become a supporter of what we're doing over here. A supporter of getting the Armenodoxy, getting Armenian Orthodoxy into people's homes. Not as something about, you know, this language, that language. It's about the centrality of Christ in your life and in your faith. You need to support it. I mean, we just came up with a giant bill just a couple days ago. I mean, it costs money to put together this podcast. We rent all kinds of space. We have servers. We have hard drives. All kinds of stuff just to get this small little message out to you. It costs money. And I didn't mean to go into a commercial over here, but while I'm on the topic, let me just say it. It's up to you. It's up to you if you want to see this continue, if you want to see this move forward. Well, we are committed to it. In fact, we are so committed to it that we are starting a new podcast. It is called Compass. And along the same lines, we're here as a person who is living with many different hats. She's a mother. She's a father. Well, in fact, let me not tell you. Let her tell you in her own words. It premieres tomorrow. Here's Linda Zadoyan to give you a little briefing on Compass.
Hi, I'm Linda. I'm a lot of things to a lot of people. I'm a complete contradiction. I'm a Christian, an Armenian, a wife, a rebel, a mother, sister, daughter, and a friend. I come from a tradition of love and revolution. I seek change and growth and preservation. I seek my place in the Armenian church, my beautiful church that's touched my soul. Are you like me? A mother, father, a wife, a husband, a friend, a lover. Does it even matter? We're all looking for that spiritual compass. So join me, Linda Zadoyan, as we embark on a series of interviews exploring the Armenian Church, Orthodoxy, and our lives today.
Compass premieres this fall on Apostle.net. And that fall cannot be too far away. In fact, it is tomorrow. It is the autumnal equinox. And we want to make sure that you listen to it. That is Compass. I am so excited about it. In fact, it's ready to air tomorrow. We're looking forward to its premiere and its launch. And I want to invite you to our website where you could sign up to be one of the first people to get it delivered right to your email box. These are shorter versions of small interviews, small reflections. You're going to like it. I know you're going to like it. As you're going to like the personality of Linda and the guests that she has through the weeks. So Compass, it premieres tomorrow. Now here is somebody who needs no introduction. She's been here for a while. I've got to tell you, I have never been so as proud as I have been of Ani during the past couple years. I mean, her achievements have been so many. And last week, she walked along with her mom on the 40-mile Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. We were so proud of her. And here she is with today's reflection and spiritual bubble.
Today's Spiritual Bubble is a special pink ribbon edition. As you know, last weekend my mom and I walked in the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer in Santa Barbara. It was a very long 39.3-mile weekend. And even though we've walked it in the past, the journey of our last year of cancer diagnoses and overcoming the worst made this more unique and more special, a true mother-daughter bonding experience. This year's walk was about celebration. Step by step, mile by mile, we celebrated life. We walked until we thought we couldn't walk anymore. And then, we kept walking. After all, there's a lot to be celebrating in our lives. We walked this weekend, two pink pomegranates tied up with the ribbons of pink that laced all through Santa Barbara. We walked with survivors, with those walking in celebration of lives and those walking in memory of lives lost. We walked with those who fought with cancer in their bodies, taking in chemo and radiation through it all. And we walked with those who've been touched by it and have fought it in their hearts. We all walked because we can. We walk because we can't not walk. Last year, I read to you what was on my cancer bracelet. I still wear this every day. It's a reminder of what cancer cannot do. It can't corrode faith, shatter hope, destroy peace, or silence courage. Cancer can't invade the soul. It can't steal eternal life, nor can it conquer the spirit. Cancer can't corrode love or kill friendship. It can't suppress the memories we've held dear to us. I wear it to remind me that my life has been touched by cancer, not just once, but several times, and my life is still so full of so much more than what cancer can bring, that there is more to life than dealing with or living with a disease. So as I walked, I thought about this, and I realized that while there is so much that cancer cannot do, there still really is a lot that it can do. While in the darkness that is diagnosis, cancer can help spring to life that hope to live. It can inspire someone to live life to its fullest, to take those chances, to walk those 39.3 miles because she can. Cancer can ignite the faith in one's life, reminding us that we aren't alone, that with God, we can overcome anything. It can bring people together for a common cause, shattering those silent walls that we sometimes build up around us, allowing us to share with one another, to laugh, to cry, love, and make memories. Cancer can bring to light the courage that was hiding within, waiting for the right moment to shine its brightest in the darkness. It can help build up the strength inside us, even in our weakest moments. It can show us what it truly means to have love in our lives. You can have cancer, but it doesn't have you. It's a terrible thing, a disease that steals too many lives too soon. And even with today's medical advances, we haven't learned how to get rid of it completely. But we can learn from it. Let us be reminded of the hope within us all. That hope that can stand out, even in the face of darkness. Hope for a cure. Hope for life and love and happiness. Let it remind us of the things that are truly important in our lives. For it's these things that cancer cannot and will not take away from us. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Honey. Honey, I don't know what you do to us. It's like 2 weeks in a row. I mean, give me a second. Let me compose myself. Oh, too much. Too much, you know, these emotional things. Oh, Ani, you are just the best. You are truly, you are a bubble personified. Let me tell you how proud we were, all of us. I mean, between you and your mom, you carried an entire community, a community of cancer patients, cancer victims, and just a lot of people who, I think everybody's been touched by it one way or another. And you just took us all on your shoulders and you walked it. And God bless you. God give you more strength to keep inspiring us with your actions and with your beautiful words as you did today. And all the best to you and your mom, Anush. And from what I understand, next year, our In His Shoes mission is going to be changing genders. We're going to be having an In Her Shoes team, and there's going to be more information coming out very shortly about that, because it does take some time to prepare to walk for 40 miles. But if you are ready for it, there's going to be a team going out. That's next September 2012 out in Santa Barbara. Love to have you come and join us and do the walk. But like I said, more information coming out. Ani, God bless you, and thank you very much for being the bubble. Well, we've gotten to the end of our podcast. We have so much more to talk about, but we'll be sharing that on our show notes and in our blogs. We are just anxious to get this out to you, and we appreciate all of the comments that you do send. I don't want to let today end without one more little plea from myself personally for your prayers and for your support. You know, this broadcast is made possible through your generous donations. We have a giant bill that came due this week, and it is for server space, it is for the electronics that we need, and we need your support. So if you are inclined to donate, if you find some value in this, please do check or press on the button at epostle.net as well as inhisshoes.org. There is a donate button. It's very secure. It's very fast. It's very easy. Make your donation a regular one, something that you want to give maybe once a week, once every month, whatever it is. There's automatic payment methods so that you could just put it on your card and it gets done through the magic. If you want to send it by snail mail, hey, we are the snails to accept it too. You can send it to the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. Just earmark it for Epostle. And the address there is 632 West Stocker Street in Glendale, California, 91202. And if you happen to be there on a Sunday morning, do stop by and say hello and join us for worship. And don't forget, you can join us many, many ways by joining us on the internet. We are on Facebook. I am on Facebook, Susie's on Facebook, Linda's on Facebook. There's all kinds of ways. And you could just go to epostle.net, and there's a Facebook right there. We are on Facebook. What did they do yesterday? What was that all about? Yeah, I know. They're making it really hard for us to Facebook one another. Anyway, whatever the changes are, we'll still be there, okay? You could follow us on Twitter, especially follow Susie. Wow, there's a lot of stuff going on over there. But follow In His Shoes. And, of course, join us at our website, The Mothership, which is inhisshoes.org, and, of course, epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe, epostle.net. And you'll find today's podcast as well as all of our podcasts, including the new one coming out tomorrow on the Equinox. What else can you want? Well, for the wonderful team who put this together and puts everything, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, and Ani with those incredible bubbles, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.